The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Taking a few more calls before we get into some election integrity talk in about 10, 15 minutes. Holly Morton. Hello, Holly. Tomorrow you got that 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Big deal at Josephine County Republican headquarters. And it's the workshop on Senate Bill 762. Wanted to make sure and mention that first. But you wanted to add more to the conversation on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. There's a war on farmers and farmland. And that is going to affect all of us very negatively. Because the people that are writing these laws have no idea what goes on farms. They want to take, you can't build on farms. That's precious farmland. You can't build. Well, where are the people who run the farms going to live?
Well, at the same time, they're also putting in additional orders. Boley was doing this, I think, on the quality of the housing that you have to provide for the farm workers, which, of course, is raising the cost of farming, too. Okay.
Well, and you know, cows don't feed or milk themselves. And you know, plows, people don't, or fields don't plow themselves. We have to have people living in the farmlands. They're not going to drive in from town every day. Mm-hmm. We have to have coverage for the animals. We have to have coverage for the equipment that plows the fields. I mean, it basically magnifies their complete misunderstanding of what it takes to put food on the tables of the American people.
No, you have to understand, I think that what goes on with a lot of the folks in Southern Oregon in the state legislature, all that great organic food, well, it just comes from natural grocers and the co-op. It's there by magic there, Holly, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let me go to, is it truck driver Mike? Is that your name?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what's your story this morning? Go ahead.
I was just curious how your lawsuit was going with the NBA about hiring middle-aged overweight white men to play basketball.
Boy, I'll tell you, I have yet to be able to find an attorney who is willing to take the case. They kind of laughed at me, Mike. I'm sorry. Sorry to report
that. All right. Well, you hadn't talked about it in a while. I was just curious.
I was kind of hoping for it, but I'd have to say upper middle age at this point, unless I'm going to live to be 126. But still, I'm with you. All right.
Truck driver, I know a lot of short, overweight guys that, you know, we could probably all jump in on it if you'd have found a lawyer.
Okay, yeah, exactly. We all get our turn. The other thing we can do here, Mike, is that I think in my ideal world, when it comes to state and government employment, everyone's talking about how they're going to pay for PERS. Well, I just think that everybody should have one shot. Everybody gets at least one chance to work for the government and go to work for PERS, and then we have lots of money. We'll all get wealthy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, everybody gets 3 or 4 years working for the government in some way, and you get your fat PERS pension, okay? That's where we have to go. I'm kidding, by the way. Everybody knows I'm kidding, but, you know, in an ideal world. let me go to line 3. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, it's Lucretia.
Lucretia, how you doing? What's up?
Oh, gosh, there's so many points.
Pick one or two and stick with it. How about that?
Well, you know, it's even like it's, it's the University of Oregon that is actually handling all the fires in Australia, U.S., and Canada.
You're right.
I mean, how do you have that kind of control of fires around the world?
It's because Oregon is the petri dish for such stupidity. You know that, politically.
Yeah, but how do they get it that concentrated? And then why do we have all these dead trees? You know, L.A. didn't burn where they were supposed to, where it was the most dangerous. How come we have all these dead trees that are just standing there, perfect for the next fire?
I have a new person to blame here. You want to help me out on this one? Maybe you can go and look this up. But I was looking at, there was a listener, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think we can blame Starlink. Okay? You want to know why?
Why?
Elon Musk's Starlink is losing 2 or 3 satellites a day, and they're burning up in the atmosphere all around the world. Think of all the aluminum and toxic heavy metals being added to the atmosphere from Elon Musk's deal here, and it's killing our trees. How about that theory?
Well, it is. Dr. Exley.
See, I knew you'd bite.
It's killing all life.
Lucretia, I knew you would bite on that. That's great. Okay. In all seriousness, though, he is losing 2 or 3 satellites a day burning through here. And as much as I like the Doge thing that he's doing with President Trump, I'd still like to know, how do we decide that people are just going to throw up several thousand private sector satellites and encircle the Earth? Do you ever wonder about that, how that happens?
Oh, yeah. No, I have the information for you on satellites. They're going to be using mostly helium balloons. They're only like 300,000 versus 11 billion to put up one satellite.
Oh, okay.
Based on NASA. Anyway, that's another whole point.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you called. Take care of those dead trees on your property, okay? Let me go to line one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Well, hello?
Hi.
Hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Hello, Francine.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Just putting a tinfoil hat to keep Elon's satellite from hitting me. But anyway, what's on your mind?
Yeah, yes, I was just remodeling mine, adding a feather.
Good. Oh, that's funny. I love that.
Holly mentioned, about how they don't understand what it takes to run a farm. Well, they totally understand what it takes to run a farm. They don't care. They don't want these farms. They don't want small farmers. They want it all to become corporate-run, big, giant farms, feedlots. Well, they'll probably get rid of that because of all the methane. But you know what I mean? It's like they don't want the people to be able to work in supplying our food and so forth. They want that to all become like big pharma under one hat, you know?
A corporatocracy, man. Corporatocracy,
yeah. Mm.
All right. Interesting take on that. 770-5633. Thank you, and you have a wonderful weekend. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Who's this?
I'm sorry. This is Suzanne.
Oh, hi, Suzanne.
Weimer. And I love your program.
Oh, thank you.
I love this debate. We need to talk, but we need to listen very carefully. I heard, now granted it's hearsay, but I heard on the radio that Jeff Golden wants to use the kicker that's supposed to go to landowners for compensating and paying for the fire costs of the last
previous
fire.
And yes, this is true. This is something that he has proposed. A one-time taking of the kicker. And by the way, it doesn't go just to landowners. It goes to all people who pay taxes because essentially the state of Oregon makes you overpay your income taxes and then they have a formula that maybe they'll give some of it back. And it's enshrined in the Oregon Constitution. But yeah, that is something that he has proposed to fund wildfire. In other words, it would create a state fund, I guess, Suzanne, of sorts, that would have investment potential, et cetera, and it would gain income from it. Almost like setting up an annuity of some sort, you know, that kind of thing. And,
well, it's setting up a precedent at one time only seemed to say in perpetuity.
Yeah, and then the next time it'll be to take care of the teachers' unions in the public school system that are running out of money. You know, that'll be
I'm
that.
I'm a property owner. Mm-hmm. I'm 80 years old. I'll never see this kicker.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. And bless your heart for doing so well, okay?
Thank you. You too.
Okay, take care, Suzanne. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. Election integrity after Kim Komando and more. We'll have town hall news coming up, too.
Honey, we're out of water again. Did you call Clouser Drilling to discuss a replacement well?
Not yet. I just talked to a company who's...
17 after 8. You know, I have a spare little thing. By the way, we'll do our election integrity guest a little bit later. For some reason, he just wasn't available. We'll try to get him redone here. But he's the author of Parallel Election. It was really interesting. We'll get back to that. For some reason, he got lost in the shuffle. But there's been something I've had here on the... on the deal here. I have a spare $20 dining certificate for Diner 62. And I know we don't have an official Diner 62 Real American quiz today. But I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to pair this with A Realm of Ice and Sky, the book from Buddy Levy, who I talked to last week, maybe the week or two ago, about the Arctic ice rescues. And I'm going to give it to you if you happen to know your Radio Shack. This is the week. In fact, Scuba Steve was the one that tipped me off. This is the week. what was it, 10, 12 years ago that Radio Shack went bankrupt? And this just devastated me. I mean, to me, it's like Radio Shack was the pilgrimage. This was the church of electronics. If you needed anything from, I never bought cell phones there. In fact, I think that was the beginning of the end of Radio Shack when they decided we're going to become just another place to buy a crappy, expensive cell phone. You know, that's what they did. I think this is what happened. But I loved it. I bought one of my first computers there. In fact, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It wasn't one of my first computers, but the one that was the first one. And what I wanted to do is give you the book and also a Diner 62 quiz prize. If you can tell me, what was the very first mass-marketed computer that Radio Shack manufactured and put out there? In fact, Bill Gates wrote the software for it. What was the name of that? 770-563-3770-KMED. Be happy to get you in on this one. I'd like to give you my old, free battery a week kind of card. Didn't they have one? I think it was free battery a week, or was it free battery a month? You know, you could do that. Does anybody remember what that computer was? I'll give you a Diner 62 prize here, and also Realm of Ice and Sky. So do you know your Radio Shack? This was the time. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, it's Michael Ferguson. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Michael. I have a feeling that you being the geek, you know your Radio Shack, don't you?
I think I do, because I think I had one of the Tandy Radio Shack TRS-80 computers when I was growing up.
Yes. The Trash 80. We remember it well.
80.
Yep.
Yep. It didn't have a screen. You had to plug it into the television.
Yep.
And you had, and the programs were all on audio cassette.
And you had to load it on the cassette machine. I remember that. And
yep.
Now, I never had. Do you remember what you paid for that back in the day, Michael?
I don't. It was a gift from my dad.
I imagine they were really, really expensive at that time. But that was the first mass-marketed computer ever sold in the United States of America. And they sold a boatload of them. And, yeah, we nicknamed them the Trash 80, but a lot of people did real work on them, too. It was good stuff.
True that.
Yeah, for that time. Now, I never had a TRS-80, but I did have, gosh, what was it? Do you remember the Texas Instruments TI-99?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had one of those. And I never really learned to do a whole lot with it. I'm not much of a programming guy when it comes to the computer stuff, but I had one of those, and yep, you had to have the cassette recorder to load the programs and save the programs and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, Michael, we've come a long way, haven't we?
Just a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to send you to Diner 62 and, Scuba Steve just told me that the TRS, the Trash 80, was $1,200. It was $1,199.
That sounds about right. And
yeah.
That's in early 1980 dollars. That's Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan dollars.
Yeah, 1977 is when the TRS-80 came out, the first version of it. $1,199. Yeah. And, I mean, that was real money. That would probably be the equivalent of $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 now, if you were to adjust for inflation. Wouldn't you think that'd be about right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hang on. We're going to send you to Diner 62. Got a book for you, too. It's good stuff, okay?
Copy that.
Hang on.
Thank you.
So there we go. Michael Torgensen, he knows his Radio Shack. I loved Radio Shack. I'd go there. I would build projects for it. I did science projects, and I would go there and do the electronic stuff from parts from Radio Shack. I still have a box of parts. I think I have some of them here at the radio station that when the Radio Shack in Medford was shutting down, I went in there, and they just wanted you to just take the stuff. They were just wanting you to take the stuff. Okay, well, the price on this is $9.99, 10 cents. You know, and so I put it in the bag, and I just filled up shopping bag after shopping bag with pieces. I still have them. You know, ways to put cable TV connectors on the end of cables, you know, all that kind of stuff. I got a bunch of that stuff. No more. I cried. Little, you know, it was kind of like my Princess Diana moment. I remember when Princess Diana died, all the women were sitting there at work the next day and crying. Oh, it was so beautiful, isn't that? And of course, the guys, we had no idea who are these strange forms of life. You know, they're crying over Princess Diana. But Radio Shack, that was serious. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Garrison's is
on News Talk 106.3 KMED.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
So President Trump signs that Protecting Women in Sports Act there. And Oregon doubles down. It says we're going to do everything possible. We've got to protect this community. We have to destroy female sports. We need fake women. Who wants real women? In Oregon, we want fake women. Look at the women in the state legislature. At least some of them. I just added that. Okay. 770-5633. Deplorable Patrick, you wanted to make sure people are weighing in or coming to that workshop tomorrow in Josephine County. 10 till 4, right?
10 till 4. Give me all the details. I promise to be paying 100% attention and writing down, because I got to send somebody else to that meeting that has some property. It's the location and everything.
Okay, well, it is the Josephine County Republican Party headquarters that is across the street, 6th Avenue, right across from the county courthouse in Grants Pass. Okay?
Got it.
Easy.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, if you don't want to go through a town, you can always take exit 58 and just keep going on exit 58 until you get off that, and then you go down the road, and on the left side, there's the headquarters across from the courthouse. Okay?
Got it, Bill. Thank you.
You're welcome. Linda Marie, Her Highness. Hello, Linda Marie. How you doing?
Hi, hi, Bill. Good morning.
Morning.
Just wanted to tell you that my first computer was the TRS-80, and we bought in Spokane in 1979, and it was off the public television off auction, and I think my dad paid about $300 for it.
Oh, you got a pretty darn good deal. Man.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so in other words, it was probably donated to the local public TV station, then they auctioned it off. Someone gets it for pennies on the dollar, that kind of deal, right? Wow.
Uh-huh.
Boy.
Yeah, we had seen a demonstration of it at someone's home, and so when I saw it on the auction, I said, "Daddy, I need that. I need that for my schoolwork." So,
did it work for your schoolwork? Did it actually use it for
sure
that?
It did.
Okay.
Yeah, I was one of the first kids to do her schoolwork and play games on the computer. My dad would program and make those programs.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, he got in on the ground floor of word processing, and he was very futuristic in that sense.
Do you remember the other times when we all used to have a whole bunch of different word processors available too? What was the one that was the competitor to Microsoft Word? Ended up really, especially kicking the butt of everybody else. But it was Word Perfect. Remember Word Perfect in those days?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, and
we used an IBM IBM typewriter, and that's what my dad did. Is he connected that to the computer.
Yeah, well, you had Word Perfect, but remember Word Perfect? You had to have those cardboard things that would fit over the keyboard, because it would give you all of the insane keyboard combinations to do certain things. You never remember them all.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for the call, Linda Marie. Love it. 770-5633. It's open phones. And kind of what got stuck and lost in the shuffle here. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, this is Tom. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Well, you're talking, high tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know that robots don't have brothers?
Robots don't have brothers, you said?
Yeah, they only have transistors.
Oh, I love that one. Hey, I'm giving you a real American salute, okay? I like that. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Speaking of that, that reminds me. I was going to do a dad joke too. I'm going to give you a double pumper on the dad joke. I have another dad joke. This one from Doug in Rogue River, and it's I know, long, long time. We haven't had one from Doug for a while. I'm glad he's back into the deal here. He says, "I have two dogs. One's named Timex. The other's Rolex. They're my watchdogs." There's another one. Gentle humor. We love that. Dad jokes of the day are sponsored by, of course, Two Dogs Fabrication on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Two Dogs has built their business on custom fabrication. So if you're looking for any kind of a custom job, all the custom jobs are now under one roof, saving you time, bringing down your costs, building your bed or trailer exactly the way you want it. And if you have a unique flatbed or a trailer that you're thinking about it, gosh, they'll design and build it for you. Have it on the road in just a few weeks, and they also have a new line of Horizon heavy-duty equipment trailers, too. 10, 12, 14, 20-foot lengths. So there we go. Dad jokes of the day, and you can submit those on twodogsfab.com. All right? It's 8:31. I love that. Anyway, hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. This is Dave from Medford.
Hello, Dave from Medford. What's on your mind today?
So I have a question. What's the difference between misinformation and disinformation?
Misinformation, I think it is determined by your political power within the system. How about that?
Yeah, I can never figure that out. It's been going on for, you know, years and years.
Yeah, it used to be back in the good old days, disinformation or misinformation used to be called a lie.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's a lie. Just shorten it down.
Yeah.
Three letters.
Now, when you're talking about the opinion of something, well, then there's you have wiggle room, right? It's like, I believe that the globalist cabal wants us off the land, right? You know, that sort of thing. I can say I believe that. That's my opinion. You can't call that disinformation or even misinformation. It's an opinion. But if I were to say, Donald Trump, take a page from Alex Jones, that Donald Trump or some other politician is eating babies on Air Force One, well, then, I better have some proof. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And by the way, there is absolutely no evidence that any babies have been harmed by the Trump administration.
Okay, right.
Make sure you know. All right.
I have another comment. On the campaign trail, Trump was saying that when he gets elected, he's going to stop the time change every spring and fall. And this year, he promised to keep the time, standard time.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he'll follow through with that, and we won't have to deal with changing the clocks ahead in the spring and losing an hour's sleep.
Now, some people would prefer that we actually stay on daylight saving time. I'm not one of them, but what do you think?
No, I like it the way it is, standard time.
Yeah, just keep it on standard time. That also means then that you're not going to have sundown at 9:45 in the middle of the summer. And I always thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know?
The bigger point is that it really affects kids when they lose that hour of sleep going to school. They can't, their brain doesn't start functioning until later in the day. So that really affects their learning capabilities. But it also, I took care of my mom in a nursing home and really, really affected the older folks who were on a routine every day. And when the time changed, they really got messed up mentally. They were eating later or earlier or doing different routines they normally do during the day.
It's a big deal. It's not innocuous. And it is well known that the risk of accidents, heart attacks, all sorts of other things go up for a week or two, sometimes up to 3 weeks, after the time change, no matter which direction, because upsetting routines and circadian rhythms and messing with people and interfering with the sleep. I mean, people are having enough trouble sleeping with all the devices that they're, poking on before they go to bed, and then changing the time on top of it. So I'm with you. Just stick with the time. Live with it. Okay?
Yep.
I think we're good.
Very good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call. 770-5633. Since we're live without Annette, just hitting phone calls and seeing what's on people's mind, we'll just do it again. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Bill.
Yeah, Jerry.
Jerry. Hey, I just wanted to say Merry Christmas and Happy Global Warming Day.
What's it like in your neighborhood? It's starting to melt. The smoosh is all melting in my neighborhood, but what about yours?
Well, it's starting to melt down there too, yes. And I'm in Ashland right now. It is snowing here.
Mm-hmm.
And my mystery question was, how much snow is, what's the snow depth on Mount Ashland as we speak?
Oh.
They had power up there for about 3.5 hours. I checked their website here 15 or 20 minutes ago. The power's out again.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, they haven't been able to update their website from last Monday.
And I know they closed the other day, according to Mr. Outdoors, because of the water system needed work. They weren't able to get enough water there. So you have probably have all this snow and no way to take advantage of it, huh?
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm just going to speculate. I'm going to throw this out there, Bill, that they have The last report was on Monday around 8 a.m., and they had 80 inches at the lower mountain.
Whoa.
I'm gonna guess that they have approximately 117 inches.
117, I think that's a pretty good bet. Speaking of betting this weekend, do you care about the sports ball game on Sunday? Are you gonna? Do you have a deal whether it's going to be the Eagles or KC? Does it matter?
It really doesn't matter to me, Bill, either way, but I'm going to root for the Eagles for no logical reason.
I'm thinking about it. Wasn't it John Fetterman? Remember John Fetterman? Wasn't he the one that said the clip, Eagles? Or was that somebody else that did that? I thought it was Fetterman that said that.
I don't recall. Honestly, I don't recall. But anyway, I more than anything, I just hope it's a well-played game. But I had an aunt who lived in Kansas City, and I remember watching the Chiefs back in the mid-70s. So I'm very happy for their success because they were in the toilet for quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but will the referees allow any hits on Patrick Mahomes? That's about the only thing that I wonder about, because there is some evidence that they seem to really put some refereeing cotton around the guy. Not that I'm any expert on football, because I'm not. I'm as dumb about sports as Lars is. So, you know, we're both equally dumb on that stuff. We can just enjoy it occasionally, but that's about it. All right. Jerry, thanks for the call. 770-5633. On to the next. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Bill, Brother Brad, good morning to you.
Brother Brad, what are you thinking?
Hey, you know, just for some perspective, you know, they're making a big deal out of the 40,000 people, whatever, that have taken this buyout.
It's now 60,000 at last count.
40,000 people isn't even as many as belong to the Oregon Education Association. So that's not even enough people to fully populate the teachers union in the state of Oregon.
Hmm.
But what that underlines is that this is why the labor unions are getting these left-leaning judges to stop this stuff, is because this is the bank. This is the funding mechanism for all of the progressive leftist activism that they do. It's the dues that all of these employees, but there's, 2 million federal employees? 2 million federal employees paying money into the piggy banks that these leftist activist groups use to do their work.
People have been killed for less money. Okay.
Trump is attacking their piggy bank. This is they don't care about the workers. What they care about is this is Trump attacking their very piggy bank that they use to do their work.
I hope he's successful at this, and I'm hoping that there is a sensible judge that's looking at this, because this whole concept that you have the executive branch of the government with, you know, supposedly controlled by the president, who is the executive, the chief executive, the CEO of the whole thing, to be told that you can't have people looking at the books, you can't fire these people, you can't say, hey, we're just going to get rid of this. You know, what is the entire government on deep state autopilot? And that's really what the battle is right now. Deep state autopilot.
Yeah. No, right? Trump is already, this is going to go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court's going to agree because it's part of the executive branch, right? Executive, judicial, legislative.
Mm-hmm.
This is within the purview of the executive branch. Trump already knows he's going to win, but this is why the leftists, this is why their heads are exploding, is they're not only seeing their power taken away, they're seeing their funding being taken away. This is what's causing their heads to explode.
And that's really serious stuff. By the way, I was on X last night, and I was looking at some people who were talking about this and going through. I'm not a big X person, but every now and then I'll comment and repost something or whatever. But and there were a bunch of hardcore leftists that were saying, oh my gosh, we're going to be losing the best and the brightest. These are the people that have, you know, they gave up more money in the private sector to come here. And one guy that was saying that I responded to, he says, because they believe in the mission. And I'm thinking to myself, oh yeah, what is that mission? They do believe in the mission, but the mission is our democracy from the left wing. And I responded, well, think about this. This is a net win, because these people who have been enduring these miserable working conditions and the bad poor, the poor pay, because they were here doing the God's work, you know, believing in the mission, and they were willing to do this and not go into the private sector. Think about how now they're going to get rewarded, Brad. They're going to be rewarded. They'll go. They're so talented because they have such amazing talents. I was told by these people on X that they'll be able to go into the private sector. The private sector will be able to take the massive brain power from all of these people in federal government service who were tarred and trashed and called, you know, just government drones. But they'll be able to take their brain power into the private sector, and everybody wins. The private sector grows. They pay more tax money because they're doing good things, and they no longer have to worry about Trump evil. I don't know.
They'll be killing it. They'll be killing it, Bill.
I know. Thanks, Brad. Catch up on news, more of your call, 770-5633. Hey, there is something I would like to pick your brain about here as we wrap up for the week, okay? Southwestern Oregon sheriffs are now on the record saying that they're going to follow state sanctuary laws. This was reported on OPB and some various other places. So all of the sheriffs down here have said that they are going to do this. Laws prevent local law enforcement in Oregon from helping federal authorities with most immigration enforcement. Sheriffs from Coos, Curry, Jackson, and Josephine counties all say they intend to uphold this. Josephine County Sheriff Dave Daniels said his department is not targeting undocumented immigrants or sharing information with U.S. Information and Customs. We have no communication with ICE. We don't work with them. They're not allowed in our jail or on our properties. That's where it sits. He notes that while it's still early days in the Trump presidency and things may change so far, the Oregon State Sheriffs Association recommends departments continue to follow state laws. Do you agree with this? Or should we be following federal law? 770-5633. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit. Sheriff's departments may have to start changing their minds when the Grand Stream funding gets doled out or doesn't get doled out. I'm just saying this could be a possibility. So, you know, the state of Oregon may say, hey, listen, state sheriffs, you're not following state law. Yeah, I know, but state law is running contravene to, or, you know, it's in opposition to the federal law, and we really have no right to be setting immigration policy in state law. Courts have already said that. Chicago and Illinois are being sued right now. I don't know. Which side do you think the sheriff should be on? I'll take your calls after news, okay?
If you've been injured in an accident, you've got Reed Law Firm on your side.
EM Auto Works and Wash Buggy Rap Lab.
It's the Bill Myers Show on KMED, Southern Oregon's place to talk.
Oregon Sheriff's Association saying, hey, follow the sanctuary state and city laws. Don't do anything. Continue to follow state law and don't help ICE. Do you agree with that? And I'm just wondering if Oregon sheriffs will eventually find themselves on the wrong side of this. I don't know. I get it because on one hand, we have counties that are all, for the most part, agencies of the state. And if you're agencies of the state, what does the state law say? Okay, well, you err on that. But yet, immigration law has already been determined by the Supreme Court years ago. I mean, even just last year when there were some issues. Remember a year or two ago when Texas was trying to get some stuff done? Nope. States have nothing to do with immigration whatsoever. You can't do anything about that. So if you have the federal government not enforcing immigration, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you're trying to help the federal government to not enforce immigration law, you would appear to be breaking the law. I guess, which bully are you more afraid of, Tina Kotek or Donald Trump? Hey, maybe that's the way you frame the question. I don't know. Let me talk with Logan. Hey, Logan, how you doing this morning? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Hey, it's sure sad to hear that Nathan and Dave Daniels took the side of...
No, they all took the side. Everyone. Yeah. The Oregon State Sheriff's Association is saying they're recommending that, and they're taking the recommendation that it's not any one sheriff. I'm just talking, it's the entire Sheriff's Association that said you better follow the state law right now. What do you think?
Well, maybe our sheriffs should not to should get out of that association. Anyway, wanted to bring to the public's attention, tomorrow at noon, there is an immigration reform peaceful protest going on downtown Medford, 100 South Oakdale at 12 o'clock. It says to please bring your posters and flags to support our community. So I would ask that all of us, a bunch of us, go down there, bring our flags, and we'll support our community.
All right. Very good, Logan. Appreciate the call. Francine, you wanted to take another bite of the apple because you wanted to weigh in on this particular deal. We have the sheriffs that are on the record saying, hey, Sheriff's Association says follow the state law, don't listen to the Trump administration. What say you?
Well, what we're seeing here now are people who were not in favor of the constitutional sheriff, you know, the sheriff that would protect their county against federal government intrusion. And all of a sudden, they're embracing sheriffs doing that.
That's a very interesting point. Very interesting point that you're raising there. The one thing I would say, though, is that the Constitution does make the federal government, that is a constitutionally enumerated power, to enforce immigration law in naturalization. That is part of the Constitution.
Right.
So being a constitutional sheriff would actually mean that you would be helping ICE if they call up and ignoring state law.
Well, the thing about the constitutional sheriffs, and I got really into this a long time ago, and I actually met Sheriff Mack, who started the that organization. They have the choice to support federal law and federal mandates and so forth, but they also have the choice to say no if it's intruding upon their citizens, the people in their county, if it's causing harm to the people in the county in some way.
Yes, but deporting or helping ICE get illegal immigration is not hurting citizens.
Oh, no, I know. I'm not saying it is.
I get that. I'm just saying that, but it's a reminder that people who are here illegally are not citizens by definition.
Right, but all of a sudden, the people who, you know, like I just read something, the Constitutional Sheriff Movement, the most dangerous group you've ever heard of, you know, I looked up some stuff, and it's just, and all of a sudden now they like it. So, you know, and then I had one other thing I wanted to say about that great robot joke. Oh, that was so good. That made me, I just cracked up.
Yeah, transistors. I love that. It just made me laugh.
Okay, so I was going to make a meme for somebody with that joke on it, and I looked up robot gender, and I'm seeing things like, I can't even believe what I come up with here. Robot gender in trouble. What do robots have to do with gender? And it's time to talk about robot gender stereotypes. These are the articles that are up there about robots.
Oh, by the way, the other thing you need to find out and remember is that Legos. Legos is anti-trans and LGBTQ. Have you heard that one?
No, I don't think.
Yeah, here's why. You want to know why the hissy fitters there on the left, the globalist types there that want every kid to cut their genitalia off and get sterilized. The reason they think Legos are against LGBTQ is because they have strict male and female joints and they mate. Seriously, there are seriously people that are out there that say that Legos are against the LGBTQ whole deal, including the trans deal, because there's male and there's female parts and they mate properly, that kind of thing.
Well, you know, we are living in the clown world.
Yes, indeed, we are. Let me go to Selma Dave, not a member of clown world, but I'm sure he has a good comment. How you doing, Dave?
Hey, how you doing? Back after 3 months in the birthplace of my descendants, England. So I was over there and I asked them, I asked all my relatives, how do you like socialized medicine? Bloody awful.
Really? They don't like their universal health care, huh?
No. You always hear the left over here play it up like it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, you know, here it's going to be given to you eventually in Oregon, good and hard, whether you like it or not. But I guess everywhere it's being done, it's not real good either, I guess.
Hmm. No good. No good. So on the sheriff thing, when I was when I used to live in California, down in the belly of the beast in the Bay Area, I was seeing all these corner pavements, you know, where they put the wheelchair ramps in at all the intersections.
Yeah.
And then the bike lanes. And I called up the city and I said, hey, we don't have any money for this. What are we doing? And they said, oh, this is all federal grant money. We give our money to the federal government, and they dole it back to us with conditions. Well, we need to start imposing conditions on the state, because Pam Bondi's already going to cut off the sanctuary city money. So they're going to say, look, you want your money back? you're going to have to do these things vis-a-vis immigration.
Well, I would certainly see law enforcement grants dry up in Southern Oregon with this response, but we'll see. Like I said, they're suing Chicago and the state of Illinois right now. Bonnie's getting right into it on that.
Right.
I think this is the beginning of a trend. We shall see, though. Thanks, Selma. Dave, welcome back. Now, hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. Alan DeBoer. How are you?
I'm fine, Alan. What's on your mind today, huh?
Yeah, I totally agree with the sheriff.
You do, huh?
Yes, and here's the reason.
Okay.
If you notice that Trump is deporting criminals and people with police records.
Mm-hmm.
The border crossings have almost stopped. The countries that are helping us now,
okay,
not doing it. So Trump's increasing his message, decreasing border. And for the immigrants that are here, that have jobs, are working and helping the community, I don't think they have much to fear. But he has stopped the border crossings by broad statements, and he kind of inflames things, which I think is great. How else do you stop things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely have to, and he's very good at inflaming it. That's for sure. But you don't think that the sheriff should help anything if ICE asks a question about someone? You don't think they should help?
I don't. I trust the sheriffs and their decisions. You know, they're part of the community. I know that people that are here from other countries are scared to death, and I'm trying to urge them not to be. Trust the system.
Huh. Yeah, that's funny because I'll tell you, if I was in any other country of the world expecting to stay and I was there illegally, I'd be terrified all the time.
Yeah.
Huh.
But he is deporting. I mean, everybody would agree. I think all the Democrats, everybody, get rid of the people that are coming in, get rid of the drugs, get rid of anybody that has criminal history, and send them back.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call there. Good hearing from you, Alan. Good weekend, okay?
All right. Thanks.
And I will take one more call on that because then we're going to have to wrap for the week. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Dave. Sorry.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
In regards to these trans activists, Lego anti, whatever you want to call
them. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are seriously people that say that because it has strict male and female parts and joints. Yeah.
Well, next time they want to drink water or want to get rid of their excrement, we can send them down to the river or outside because every piece of plumbing in their home or their office building has a male and a female.
Good point. And you wrap the week. Thanks so much for the call. It is 8:57.